The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, it was green light go across the grain and livestock trade to start the week on Monday. That's not something that we've been able to say for quite some time across the board. We're going to talk about that today as we got a friendly start to the week in the markets here on Market Talk. Thanks for joining us on the program. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, and yeah, risk on. Here we go. I like it. I like to see this as we start off the week. Monday's trade led by wheat with soybeans and corn finding some good support. Cattle futures reacting to a mostly friendly cattle on feed report. Hogs getting a little spillover support as well. Outside markets relatively quiet. Overall, just a good, solid day in the trade on Monday. We're going to talk about that on the show. Coming up, we'll talk with John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing. He's our guest analyst in segment 3 and 4. We will get John's perspective on the markets here and see if he's got any notes for us as we recap a positive day in the trade. I know some weather risk, a frost scare for Europe's wheat crop, dryness in southern Russia, dryness in the U.S. plains, all kind of seemingly combining to cover some short positions here from the funds in the wheat trade, and that spilled over into the row crops as well. Strong exports for corn on Monday's weekly export inspections report, a nearly two-year high at 63.9 million bushels of corn for export shipment in the week ending April 18th. So we're going to talk about all that more coming up with John Heimberg here later on in the show. Also, we're going to talk weather. We got a little bit of the frost scare in the U.S. over the weekend and some cold temperatures. What are we looking at for planting windows here the next week or so ahead and into the month of May? Eric Snodgrass with Nutrient Ag Solutions is going to join us to talk about that. Also, I know he's going to touch on some of the dryness concerns in the plains of wheat country, too. So we're going to get to all that coming up here in segment 2 with Eric Snodgrass with Nutrient Ag Solutions. First up, though, let's talk markets with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. We talked to Arlen for our midday commentary on Monday. You can listen to that anywhere you download your favorite podcast. We put it out on the Market Talk feed each and every weekday. And we talked about the risk-on environment in the grains and oilseeds with Arlen. And we touched on just seeing good positive strength across the board. He highlights some of the things he's watching in the trade. We also discussed the friendly day in livestock as well. Here are those comments for the midday commentary with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX.
Yeah, this type of strength in green on the screen, I should say, across the board for the grain and oilseeds has been rather rare over the last several months. So rather encouraging for producers to see this morning, particularly leading the way is wheat. So we look at stories there on wheat. Fundamentally, we see, yes, we're expecting another drop in the rate crop ratings this afternoon from the Central Plains due to dry weather there. Also, we had looking at frost, potential frost damage in Europe, particularly Germany and France and a few other places. And then in southern Russia, their biggest production areas of Russia, still dry and the crops slowly deteriorating in that area as well. None of these by themselves are necessarily at a point of being a bullish story yet. But when the funds lean as heavily short as what they were, it certainly starts making them nervous. So they're covering those shorts. And then as the price starts to go higher, they hit chart signal changes, hit buy stops, and the algos that read those chart signals then put in additional ad buy orders that just amplify the gains. On the corn side, we're looking at the highest export inspections for corn last week that we've had in almost 23 months. So that was a plus, the 63.9 million bushels. Also, we're looking at weather stress starting to increase across Brazil's winter corn crop, their Safrinha corn crop. Argentina has disease in its corn spread by the leafhopper insect. And our contacts there say take 7 to 10 million metric tons off their crop. Again, none of those stories are enough by themselves to justify sustaining a rally in corn when you got a 2+ billion bushel carryout, but it's making the shorts, the heavy speculative shorts, a little bit nervous this morning, so they're doing some covering. Soybeans kind of along for the ride this morning overall. Decent export inspections, nothing flashy or anything. It's just we've come down a long ways, and so they got some room to bounce this morning with the other grains.
To your point, yeah, those stories, you know, by themselves, maybe not bullish enough to move these markets, but you throw it all together and a lack of other fresh news, it gives us a little bit of that uptrend here to start the week. And largely, it just feels like grains trying to find some sort of enthusiasm here for quite a while. And to your point, you know, you made earlier, green on the screen across the board is not something we're gotten accustomed to seeing here as of late. So trying to find some sort of enthusiasm is what it feels like in this grain trade, Arlen.
Yeah, absolutely. We still have the geopolitical risk, and this is a time of year when weather risks do increase and start to have an effect on the market. And Friday's CFTC report showed the funds having an unusually of historically rare large short positions in the grain and oilseed complex for this time of year. So funds a little bit nervous about that as we go forward.
Livestock trade, good start to the week in the cattle futures. I kind of expected that with a mostly friendly cattle on feed number on Friday afternoon. And hogs, too, look like they're getting a little spillover support maybe from the cattle trade, Arlen.
That cattle on feed report, unusually friendly. It's been a long time, many months since we've had a friendly cattle on feed report. It feels like the placement total falling 5.3% or 107,000 head short of the average trade estimate, below the lowest end of the trade guess. That's a pretty sizable miss by the trade on expectations. And as we look at the most productive states, not one of them seeing an increase versus year on year, with Texas coming in down 20% year on year, Kansas and Colorado down 13% year on year. Last week's kill was also it came in around 620,000 head, up about 17,000 from the prior week. So a nice boost with live cattle futures gapping higher this morning.
And once again, good thoughts there. Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joined us for our midday commentary on the day Monday. Always appreciate a conversation with Arlen and his thoughts in the market trade. And of course, going to watch and see how these markets go into Tuesday. Will there be any sort of follow through? I think that is going to be a big key here in this grain trade. Is it a one-day short-lived type of move, or can we get a little bit of follow through here? And if we do get follow through, does that spur on any sort of farmer selling? I think that is going to be another big piece of this puzzle that we need to keep an eye on as well. I know still a lot of farmers who are storing stuff in the bin. They don't want to move it. And with spring planting going on, of course, that kind of adds to the delay in moving much of anything out of the bins here, as you're more focused on putting this next crop in the ground versus trying to move and sell it. But you got to stay on top of the markets. That's going to be a thing that you got to stay vigilant in this type of environment. That's for sure. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk weather, of course, spring planting windows. What are we going to have here as we continue to try and get this year's crop into the ground? Eric Snodgrass, Principal Atmospheric Scientist at Nutrient Ag Solutions, will join us next for a look at the weather here on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we take a look at this week's weather outlook, we have a lot to discuss, so we're going to dive right into it. Joining us now for a conversation, as he always does, we appreciate his time, Eric Snodgrass, Principal Atmospheric Scientist with Nutrien Ag Solutions. Eric, thanks for joining us again here this week. Let's start. I want to start with the cold air. A lot of frost advisories, freeze warnings throughout the weekend into Monday across a wide area of the country. Maybe slowing down a little bit of that planting progress and that spring planting idea with just some of that cold weather here over the last couple of days, I would think. I guess give us an update on that cold weather first.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that these cold temperatures we're getting are primarily morning events, right? So we have situations where temperatures are dropping down, you know, touching that 30 degree line, or in some places farther to the north, getting down there into the upper 20s. But then by the middle of the day, we're breaking away toward quite a bit of warmth. So, you know, I just think about it. Yesterday on Sunday, I went to an 8 a.m. soccer game and I was like two layers and full parka. And then by noon, I was shorts and t-shirt, right? And I live in central Illinois. So there was actually quite a bit of field work done despite some of the colder weather, because it was a bit of a drier weekend for a lot of the corn, but all the really wet conditions were down south coming out of parts of Texas all the way over to the Carolinas. So we still have cold air, more of it in place. We've got another shot at cold air coming through the Corn Belt that's going to head into the northeast by midweek this week. But I think after that, we kind of blow the doors open to more normal warmth in spring, which means we're going to have a lot of folks going pretty quickly here. I do not see into May extended time periods of cold weather. So I'm not concerned about seeds sitting in the ground, cold and soggy, if we get crop planted like this week, for example. But you got to dodge the rain this week. So that's the whole other side of the story.
Yeah, whole other side of the story. We'll get to that here in a moment. Another area that I've been hearing some chatter on social media now all of a sudden about some concerns in the plains of dryness for wheat country, Kansas specifically. What are you hearing on this? Any updates for us there?
Yeah, you know, it's I'm hearing a lot. A lot of growers have been commenting and messaging me and just discussing how dry things have been in parts of Kansas, especially. That seems to be the epicenter of it. That's not to say there aren't drier places around this area, but I was looking carefully this morning at where the source of that really dry air is, and it's kind of coming out of central Mexico. So we have a major drought in central Mexico, and the geography combined with the way that the flow of this spring pattern has gone has been able to pull that up through western Texas and New Mexico and just put it into Kansas. So there is a major moisture deficit in that area that has to be overcome in order for it to rain. So in other words, you know, you kind of go in with less than adequate. Any forecast of above average rains in that area, I'm very skeptical on, because the atmosphere's been stealing it before it's been getting to the ground in those areas. Outside of that, we got places that need the rain shut off. I mean, there's big areas in the eastern Corn Belt that are not going to want to see the rain we've got forecast this week. Even parts of the upper Midwest, which have been cold, have also been wet. They'd like to get some heat, some drier weather in as well. And then in Texas, this is amazing. Go to the panhandles, dry. You come down to like central Texas, well, just this weekend, some places picked up another 3 inches of rainfall. Don't forget that same area a week ago, about 10 days ago, picked up in some spots 10 inches of rain. So the precipitation delivery this spring has been such that I'm finding very few people that are happy with me forecasting it. So I guess we'll leave it at that.
All right. Fair enough. Looking at this week, rain chances, severe weather at all. Give us a rundown of that real quick.
Yeah, so we have a weak system that's going over the U.S.-Canada border in the Northern Plains today, upper Midwest tonight, and gets into New England. That's going to drag a front through the Corn Belt, bring us a chance for some precipitation. The totals are not high, but it's rain. There's going to be some rain coming through with this sagging front. Does it make it down into your neck of the woods? Possibly. Just sneaks through parts of the Mid-South, but it's not like it's a big delivery mechanism for heavy rain. Later this week, though, deep trough comes out of the Western Plains. There's actually three of them lined up. And as it ejects, we're going to watch for a Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night risk of severe storms all three times in the plains and western Corn Belt as this next system comes out. But that's a system that's critical, because right now the European Artificial Intelligence Forecasting System, which has been one of the better performers, combined with the National Blended Models, the European model, the GFS, they're all putting heavy rain in that western, southwestern Corn Belt area. So this could be, by the end of this week, taking Kansas and the eastern half of the state getting maybe, there might be a couple places that touch 2 to 3 inches of rain, and the western half of the state, nothing. And that's going to continue just to split this part of the United States somewhere around the 95th to 100th meridian in there. If you're west of it, it's very difficult to see the moisture get back into that area.
Okay. Well, thinking about this week, and then let's look into the month of May here, because you know, we're almost to the month of May. Looking at some of these planting windows, what are we looking at here? You know, kind of forecasting through the next month. Are we looking at like we're going to have some decent windows to get some field work done here, Eric?
Yes, I think so. I don't think it's going to be wide open, like just everybody goes and there's 2 weeks of just amazing, you know. And the reason for that is that the jet stream just keeps dipping in the west. So if it's going to dip in the west, it's going to come across the central United States out of the southwest. And southwest flow in the jet stream is a stormy pattern. But it doesn't mean we won't find those windows and opportunities in there. It's just, it's the temperatures are going to come back to where we want them. But I don't think that the, you know, wide open 7, 8, 9 days of no rain are going to be just for everybody. So I'm expecting a pretty stormy May. And again, I know I've joked with you about this in the past, but knowing that several of my friends and colleagues who still get the opportunity to storm chase, they're pretty excited about this May, which means quite a bit of activity in terms of spring thunderstorms. But that's normal, right? May is that month. And we love it and we hate it. We need the moisture. We don't like getting slowed down when we're trying to get a crop established.
No, we don't. Well, I know you mentioned this to me too, off air. A lot of long range data is out now, and you know, thinking through the month of May. Obviously, it's tough to forecast out too terribly far, but we can at least get kind of that idea, to your point, of maybe a stormy May. You know, what are some of the latest long range models saying for you?
Yeah. So one important thing is that some of our most aggressive models at bringing in La Nina have backed off recently. So one of the most aggressive models, called the CFSV2, which had like 1988 style drought spreading across the country, latest runs, it really backed off on that. What do I think is going to happen? Well, history would tell me to tell the Cotton Belt to be prepared for drier conditions, especially the southwestern Cotton Belt. So I'm talking about Texas, where we already have that drier air that's there into Kansas. But the CPC just released their newest long range forecast last Friday. And what it did was it took the drought that's in Canada and Mexico and kind of bridged it, which means the plains start off late spring into early summer dry. And then it tries to plant the epicenter by July and August, the epicenter of the driest conditions almost over Kansas City. And if you're east of the Mississippi, they're keeping things wet. Everybody agrees, I think, on the above average activity hurricane season, which is going to be the wild card for late, right? Because you could be in drought, and then all of a sudden one comes up and now you're talking about too much rain. But it seems to be that all of the models want to take this drought episode. This is why we started talking about this today, right? In the plains, and just expand it later in the year. I'm talking like July, and push it farther into the east, but not too far. And I just will tell you, don't bet the farm on that forecast. There are too many unsettled variables that we haven't got a handle on yet to even make it make us feel confident about one thing or the other. That's why I'm just keeping the near-term sights on where it's too wet and where it's too dry and how spring planting progress progresses.
Well, let's wrap up our conversation and talk South America. Sounds like the wet season in Mato Grosso, parts of Brazil, is officially over, Eric. Is that the case?
Yeah. Well, we would expect it to be winding down in mid-April to late April, but some of the newest forecasts just shut it off. 10-day forecast from the Euro this morning had most of Mato Grosso, Goiás, Tocantins, Mato Grosso do Sul, Paraná, Sao Paulo, Minas Gerais, nothing, just done with rain. It's wet in Paraguay, Uruguay, and Rio Grande do Sul, but that's about it. So is it an early exit? Yes, it is a bit of an earlier exit than we'd expect. Is it going to impact crops? The last 2 weeks were wet in those areas. So we have to know if that rain was majorly beneficial as we go into pollination. But we would expect the rest of grain fill, I think, to be on the drier side of average, which means there could be some news coming out that that crop could pull back a bit in size. But to be honest, one of the bigger mysteries for me is forecasting grain fill on Safrinha crops. Some of the years I think I see really dry and I'm like, wait a minute, how did they hit these numbers? So it maybe it's something I need to go down there and study a bit more, but it is drier now in the forecast.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time as always. Folks can find more details, agweather.com. That's ag-wx.com to find the latest forecast details from Eric Snodgrass at Nutrient Ag Solutions. Eric, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, Jesse.
And as always, we appreciate his time. Eric Snodgrass with Nutrient Ag Solutions. Again, learn more online, agweather.com, ag-wx.com for more information. All right, it was a good day in the markets on Monday. We're going to talk about it. Coming up next, John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing will join us for market analysis on the way right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, on Monday, one could say it was green light go across the grain and the livestock trade as we saw a really supportive start to the week led by wheat and led by cattle. Question is, will this hold? Is this a short-term rally or is this the start of something? We're going to talk about that here today. Joining us for a conversation, John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing. John, good to talk with you again this week. And hey, you know what? We get a positive day to talk about for once, and especially with grains, you know, with all that green on the screen, that's something that we've come accustomed to not really seeing here for quite some time. So it was nice to get some positivity in here in these markets to start off the week on Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, I mean, and like you said, we haven't seen those too often, especially good moves 2 days in a row. You know, we had the strong move on Friday last week. You know, a lot of that was tied to what happened between Iran and Israel on Thursday night. And, you know, so who knew what today was going to bring us? You know, was that just a short covering pop for the weekend and nothing really seemed to materialize over the weekend? So, you know, I think the anticipation was maybe the markets would be a little bit softer today. But, you know, with that, the wheat market decided to lead this thing out of the gate this morning and then brought corn and beans with it, as we saw some really good money flow just come into the agriculture sector, period, today. You know, obviously saw strong cattle gains as well as gains in the hog market. And then obviously, you know, pretty much double-digit gains in soybeans and wheat as we've made a nice little price move here in a couple days.
Very true. Well, let's dissect this a little bit. And just in general, with wheat being the leader, a lot of the chatter I saw on Monday was dryness in southern Russia, dryness in the U.S. Central Plains, some frost over the weekend in parts of Europe. I'll even say maybe some frost in, you know, Chicago wheat areas too here, soft red wheat areas in the U.S. over the weekend, maybe thrown in there too. It felt like all of those things kind of combined together to give us a little bit of fuel. It wasn't maybe really one thing over another, was it, John?
Yeah, you know, I think it was a combination of factors that came into play here with us today. And, you know, you touched on a few. First off, we've been watching the Black Sea region getting hot, getting dry in that area. Do we start seeing some production cuts? But then you get a counter news story of Russia, you know, bumping up their wheat export totals for the year by a metric ton or two. You know, so that comes into play. I do think Western Kansas, watching this next system, looks like most of the rain is going to avoid that area. There's some chances for some people to pick up some moisture. You continue to hear more chatter, seeing crop ratings slide. Maybe there's a little bit of buying going into the U.S., you know, crop progress numbers here this afternoon from the USDA and seeing that wheat rating slide a little bit more. So that helps out that KC contract. You know, then again, too, a lot of moisture across the grain belt coming in here again, too. Where are we at in terms of this spring wheat crop? How's that coming to play? Also did see the U.S. dollar kind of roll over towards the end of the day today as well. You know, and I touched on a little bit too, just the commodity sector in general, big drop in gold today. So that might have shifted some money flow back into the ag sector, which the funds were heavily short. And really of those positions, wheat, corn, soybeans are the ones that they're most short in. And that just could have triggered some additional, you know, money flow. Again, the key though is going to be what happens over the next couple of days in these grains, period.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious to see what the follow through looks like if we do get it on Tuesday. I think that's the big thing to really tell us if this is going to be a sustained rally of any kind. And to your point about the funds, I want to talk about that a little bit because the CFTC data we got on Friday, I mean, the combined ag position, you were telling me this before we went on the air, I mean, at or near record short. And I think that is something that, especially for this time of year, typically is an uncharacteristic of the funds, John.
Yeah, very much so. We're looking at a combined position and across the ag sector, largest in 4.5 years. So, you know, go back quite a bit of time. Dollars and cents wise is about being short $14 billion worth of agricultural commodities. So it's a big number, you know, and so we saw that. First off, you get a little friendly cattle on feed number. We'll touch base on that here shortly. And boom, cattle's up $2, $3, $4, $5 today and across the board for lives, then feeders. You know, so you saw strong money flow there. Even a hog market that looked like it put a bit of a technical top in was did get firmness today as well. And then obviously the grains with their strong gains for the second day in a row. So it makes you kind of wonder if there wasn't some just general money flow in here and that maybe the sellers are kind of getting done here in this time frame. Again, like everything else, though, I think maybe the trigger for that could have been that move in gold. You know, they were heavily long that gold market. We had over a 60 cents or $60 an ounce drop today in gold on just calming of those fears in terms of the Middle East. And that just sends money moving everywhere. And the ags might have been the most benefiting of that group today.
Well, and to that point, too, with gold, I know coffee and cocoa, two other markets that have been extremely volatile lately, they were sharply lower, too, on Monday. So all of those together, I think you're right. I think some of that maybe safe haven money moving back into the ags. I wonder, too, and this is me hypothesizing a little bit here, John, but if we can get some follow through Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday, can get a little more, you know, a few more cents on some of these grain contracts, could that spur on some farmers selling, even though we're really getting into the heart of spring planting season? I guess that's going to be one thing that I'm going to be curious about if these markets continue to rally, John.
You know, I think we saw a little bit of that in the corn market today. We really struggled with 450 today in the July contract, 440 on the May. I think you just saw a window where, you know, guys had price targets maybe sitting there and some product moved, you know, very quickly. We do, and I've talked about this last week, and we really haven't seen the impact of it. Watching that this May basis period, this is where those basis contracts kind of have to come together here in the next 5, 6, 7 days. And really, it's been a pretty friendly situation. The spread this morning did get down to 8 cents between May and June. It did end the day at 10. So we actually put a bearish reversal on that spread. So maybe that could be an indicator of that, you know, a little bit of bearish spreading, watching that spread widen out as guys are making that decision with that May contract if they got that basis set. So that could be something that could be a bit of a headwind. Don't forget, we also do have May options expiring at the end of the week as well. So a lot of contracts there that got to get moved around. You know, so that could give us some volatility. And then first notice day for May futures right away on the 30th next week. So even though we've had a couple good days today, it might take a little bit of shuffling to get this thing kind of figured out here as we go through some of those key benchmark points in these markets, especially in these grain markets over the next handful of days.
Well, and with that in mind, with basis and contracts coming up and options expiration, first notice day, et cetera, if I'm not defensive in the grains right now, should I consider getting defensive with my marketing? I guess talk about that a little bit, John. What are your thoughts there?
You know, it's probably an opportunity again if you'd want to reward the rally, you move a little bit here or throw a cheap put underneath and lock something in this area. You know, I know everybody's going to get really busy here based on the weather, you know, over the next couple of weeks. So hauling grains is not high on the priority list. So, you know, that's something we'll have to watch. You know, the biggest thing we still got to keep in mind, especially for corn and in soybeans, is the demand concern, as well as the heavy supply of corn that's out there. You know, we just saw it a little bit here in the last weekly export sales numbers. Again, those soybean sales just not where we need them at this time frame. You know, new crop sales for the 24 crop coming up for soybeans. are very, very poor compared to where we were last year at this time. In fact, even though there's unknown destination sales on the books for the 24-25 marketing year, China has nothing on the books for 24-25. Maybe that'll start waking up here. We'll see. Those are all things that come into play that could keep that soybean demand in check. On the corn front, we're still pretty good value at this time frame. We're still waiting for that Argentina corn to kind of get into the marketplace. It's not there yet, but at least at this window now, the U.S. Export sales program is going well for corn. You know, shipments today, market year high at a little over 1.6 million metric tons. So it's encouraging to see that we've got sales on the books and we're moving it out. So that just means that that product's gone in that regard. You know, so there's some positives there that we still got to keep an eye on. But again, there's still just a large supply limiting this market overall here. And if we do start seeing some movement, I know I fielded a couple calls today of guys saying, should I move a little grain at this move? You know, and obviously the answer was, you know, where's it fit in your schedule? You got a nice little rally here. Sometimes you need to reward it a little.
I was going to ask you, too, that weekly export inspections number for corn, I think it was a nearly two-year high, to your point. So I was wondering if that piqued your interest at all here in this corn market, John.
Well, I mean, obviously those sales are on the books. I'm a little more concerned about the export numbers, the sales numbers that we get on Thursday. Reason why the last couple of weeks, they just quite haven't quite mustered up the energy that I'd like to see. You know, hopefully our export sale window is not coming to an end here. We need that to have a nice long tail, given the bushels that are out there. You know, especially with the Argentina supplies coming as Brazil supplies not far down the pipeline. You know, there's still a lot of question marks regarding both those crops, but they're still going to have a decent amount of exportable beet corn coming out of those harvests that it could keep a lid on prices. So to me, those shipments are nice because we know that stuff is gone, not going to get canceled. It's not coming back in that regard, but we need to see those export sales numbers that we get on Thursday. You know, we want that up over that million metric ton mark. Last week was around 900,000. Prior week was a dismal 350,000. You know, we need that number to be back up there for both corn and especially for soybeans, too.
Well, once again, we're talking with John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing here today as we saw a really solid day on Monday. Some of the final numbers, May corn up 6 1/4, 439 and three quarters. July up 6 3/4, 449 and three quarters. December new crop corn, 6 1/4 higher, 472 1/2. May beans up 10 1/2, 1161. July up 10 3/4 at 1176 1/2. November beans up 10 3/4, 1171 3/4. May bean meal up 60 cents a ton, 344.30. May bean oil up 66 points, 45.04. July Chicago wheat, 20 3/4 higher, 587 1/2. Kansas City wheat, July up 19 1/2 at 602 1/2. Spring wheat for July up 10 1/4, 662 3/4. April live cattle up 235, 183.82. June up 237, 178.05. April feeders up 157, 242.90. May feeders up 317, 245.17. May hogs up 47, 96.70. June hogs up 67 at 105.50. We will continue the conversation with John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing on the way after this here on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing is our guest analyst here today on the show. John, let's go to livestock, cattle on feed. Again, we touched on that a little bit. Friendly, you know, it's rare. We've been having a lot of these reports have kind of come in as a miss here, but on the April report, friendly, that placements number below expectations, on-feed number 101%, largely just felt like a pretty good report, and the futures trade, I know, responded on Monday.
Yeah, it did very much so. Strong triple-digit gains in lives. especially in feeders too. And, you know, that placement number sometimes is just basically a moving target when it comes to the things. You know, we had really strong movement in February, compensating for the lack of movement in January. And maybe we just didn't have a lot of room for those March cattle to find a home. But with that, though, the report I've seen did have a friendly tone to it. And we saw that kind of fire up the markets here today. You know, on the other side, too, I talk a lot about money flow right now, but that's such a major factor. You know, the funds ran away from this cattle market. Some of that was tied to the HPAI and those issues. And, you know, just, you know, we saw retail turnover, cash market calmed down a little bit, and the funds just took this thing to the woodshed. They were actually sitting on Friday's report for live cattle, the numbers that came out, 32,000 long contracts. That's one of their smallest long position in a handful of years. You know, so then we get confirmation that the cattle numbers are still not there, you know, in that regard. So it just looked like a great opportunity for the funds to kind of say, hey, we need to get back in this cattle market. Now we need to get some follow through. We need to see the cash trade go. We need to see retail values continue to get back on the climb as we get into the, you know, summer grilling season now mentality. But going forward here, at least feels like we got our low end last week or a week or so ago with that spike on that one Thursday. And now we've gotten some good push. 200-day moving average over the June contracts around 180. We'll see if we can get through that area. If we do there, that could really trigger some short covering and some long money flow into that cattle market. But then I still think we need those fundamentals, cash, retail, to come with it to really give it that boost it needs. Same thing on the feeder side. Big move, gap opens today on the chart. So there's some strength. That just shows us there's some money waiting to get into that market. You know, obviously we did that encounter flow to a strong grain market. So, you know, so we'll have to see how this kind of plays out here right now. But that was a really good day to start the week in the cattle market. Now we'll see if we can finish the week out and get those fundamentals to come along with this move.
Hogs, too, I think got some spillover support from cattle. Hogs, you know, looked like maybe they were getting kind of toppy, but then a good day Monday. I don't know. Your thoughts on the hog trade, John?
You know, technically, again, I talked about this last week. We saw that funds really just run that hog position out almost a record long, or at least one of the longest positions in the last handful of years. Turned it over last week. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. Looks like technically we got a bit of a top in here, but we had some room after that price recovery for this hog market to move back up into that window. You know, so maybe we're getting ourselves range bound in that June, 110 on the top, $1 on the bottom. We'll see where this wants to go to here in the middle. Well, it's still the encouraging things, though. You know, that retail, that carcass, excuse me, cash market, the index continues to trend higher. You know, I think we're looking at 13, 14 multiple weeks in a row where that has trended higher, watching the retail values stay in that $100 area. So there's some support there. So maybe this hog market's just trying to find a little bit of equilibrium and narrow down this wide range that we put in here over the last couple of weeks.
Same question I asked in grains. I'll ask it for livestock here real quick. If I haven't gotten defensive in cattle or hogs, should I be thinking about it here with a solid move on Monday?
I think you need to keep that on the radar, especially in like the feeder market or something. If we do get a, you know, we start seeing some recovery in the grain market, or all of a sudden planting gets delayed and this market gets edgy, you know, we're going to see that cost of inputs go up, and that could put some pressure on feeders. So you're picking up $5 a day. You're still looking at $260 for those fall feeders. You know, there's probably a window in here you want to start thinking about it. Problem that makes it hard is cash market, futures market. There's such a basis between the two. It's really hard to hedge up anything out there. You know, but I would start running some stops underneath the market. Think about where you could be in that regard. You know, set some targets. We hit them, put the puts in, let the market run if it wants to. You still got the cattle, but at least make sure you're locking in some type of floor here again in this marketplace. But, you know, right now, at least with this today's action coming off of those lows from the middle of the month, it looks like we got ourselves a little bit of money flow coming back into the cattle space.
Well, of course, we want to remember that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. You got to always think about that with your marketing on grains, livestock, et cetera. John, final thoughts from you real quick. Anything you want to share or reiterate for us today?
No, we didn't touch on the dairy market. It looks like we've got well past the HPAI issue. Nice move today on cheese, up to $1.70 plus. So milk market takes out its most recent highs. Back into that $18 window, even got summer or fall months poking at the $19 handle. So again, producers, be on guard. You know, wasn't too long ago. In fact, it was the 1st of April. We were trading over $3 lower on that May contract. So this dairy market likes to move in quick swings, and right now we're on a very quick swing up. So make sure you're being proactive on defending some of that price too.
John, if folks want to reach out and get their questions answered, want to talk with you there at Total Farm Marketing, I know they could reach you. How can they get a hold of you?
Give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And don't forget that website of ours, totalfarmmarketing.com.
John, always good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
Once again, John Heinberg there with Total Farm Marketing joining us here today on the show. Always good to talk with John. Great thoughts, and we appreciate his time on what was a really good day across grain and livestock trade on Monday. Can we see that follow through and continued support, though, into Tuesday's action? That's going to be a big, big key, as wheat was the upside leader. Chicago KC wheat, we saw double-digit strength there, double-digit gains in soybeans. Did fade a little off the highs, though, as John kind of talked about. And a strong day in cattle futures with triple-digit strength, and a good day in hogs as well. Generally, that money flow was good on Monday. We saw July quart up 6 3/4, 449 3/4. Dease quart up 6 1/4, 472 1/2. Soybeans July up 10 3/4, 1176 1/2. Nova beans up 10 3/4, 1171 3/4. July Chicago wheat 20 3/4 higher, 587 1/2. July KC up 19 1/2, 602 1/2. And spring wheat July up 10 1/4, 662 3/4. Live cattle April up 235, 183.82. Feeders April up 157, 242.90. May hogs up 47, 96.70. We're out of time here on Market Talk today. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll be joined by Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net. That's going to do it for the show. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to Market Talk. Have a great day.